119 verse 34. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Our aim of going through the psalm verse by verse in our prayer meeting especially is not to cover as many verses as possible, but to meditate on each verse till each of those prayers and verses become our heartfelt prayer, right? And how it has indeed become an heartfelt prayer, you know, week by week, it has enriched my prayer life as I prepare and I meditate and after I plead. That verse, you know, becomes a week-long prayer. And I found new needs which I would have never found except for the Psalm 190. So, let's look at, you know, one more need for us that we need to pray for, right? In this verse 34, we have two things. There is a prayer for understanding. Give me understanding. That is prayer. Now, on the supposition that God is going to grant that prayer, the psalmist says, he makes two promises, right? He says, I shall keep your law. And then the promise is further amplified. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And he promises sincerity of obedience. He not only promises obedience, but he promises full and sincere obedience by saying, I shall observe it with my whole heart. These different prayers of David should make us understand that it's not a simple thing to obey God's word. Oh, we are a Bible Christian, I'm going to follow the Bible, and you can say that normally. But we need several things for us to keep God's word, right? Here, the prayer is for understanding. And you, it's not just talking about intellectual understanding, right? It's in Tamil there is a good translation. It talks about that heartfelt conviction or a heartfelt realization. That's what it means, you know. You are convinced, your judgment is convinced. You know, you need that kind of understanding. We know one of the effects of sin is that sin has darkened our understanding. That's what scripture says, especially our understanding is dark with respect to God and His ways. Talking about the depravity of mankind, Paul in Romans 3, he says, there is none righteous, not one. Why, Paul? What is the reason that there is not even one? And he goes on and says, there is none who seeks God, there is none who does good. And you know what he traces all this to? Verse 11, he says, there is none who understands. People don't have understanding. All this problem of non-righteousness, none who seeks God, none, you know, they all become unprofitable, none who does good. What is the cause for all that? Because there is none who understands, who has the understanding. So we have to walk in God's ways. One of the great needs you and I need to realize is I need understanding. I need wisdom. I need, you know, in contemporary terms, I need brains, right? So David prays for understanding. And why do we need to emphasize understanding so much? Oh, if you can just read the Word of God, if you can just read books like Proverbs, you will see again and again the wise man tells us to gain understanding, to get knowledge. Proverbs 2:2. Search it like you search for hidden treasure. Oh, if you can incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So for a few minutes, you know, I want us to not only just, you know, understand, you know, the need for understanding, but feel the need for our understanding, right? There is a great need that you and I have of understanding, and we need to pray. And only we realize that need deeply, sincerely, you know, this will become a part of our prayer, and we will cry with David, "Give me understanding, O Lord. Give me understanding." Let me give you five reasons why you need understanding. Number one, you need understanding to please and glorify God. We have great obligation to God, right? Both from the gratitude for what He has already done and for the hope that He has promised for us in the future. And we have reason to study our duty, right? And we should study in such a way, we need to have an understanding not to displease Him. "My people perish for the lack of knowledge." That's what He said about Israelites. You and I, if we don't have to displease God, and if we shouldn't cross His will, and if we should please Him, walk in a way that is pleasing to Him, we need understanding. We all know we are dependent on some person, and if we depend on him for everything, let's say our boss or anybody, right? We are dependent on him for our job, and we are dependent on him for our livelihood, and we will do everything to please him, right? And because everything in life for us depends on God, we should make it a great aim in life to live a life pleasing to him. And we can never live a life worthy of pleasing God without knowledge and understanding. Therefore you should speak wisdom. Therefore you should speak understanding. And Paul in Colossians 1:9, Paul says, "I pray for you. I have not stopped praying. I am praying unceasingly for you, that you may be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Why, Paul? Why are you praying for understanding for us? "That you may walk worthy of God to all well-pleasing to Him." You can never walk worthy of God. You can never walk well-pleasing with God without understanding, people. That's all very essential. Secondly, you need understanding to overcome the devil and our own deceiving heart, right? With all its remaining sin. To avoid the snares that devil lays for us, right? He's very, very crafty. He's very, very shrewd. And our heart is so deceitful. And the great aim of devil is to hinder us from walking pleasing to God. He wants us to displease God, right? And Ephesians 6 talks about the wiles of the devil, the craftiness of the devil. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And he has his devices. Paul says we are not ignorant of his schemes. Devil is making a lot of schemes in your life. And many of us are completely ignorant because we lack understanding. And he is ready to trap us. He is ready to trap us in anger. He is ready to trap us in lust. He is ready to trap us in short temper. And we don't understand that. We get angry and, you know, allow the anger to, you know, burn in our hearts for days together. Whereas God, scripture says that do not let the sun go down and give room to the devil still with your anger in your heart. And that devil is making all kinds of schemes. And he suits the bait for each one of us according to our own appetite. And we don't have any understanding of what he's doing. If we have to escape the devil, you need understanding, right? Then our own heart, so deceitful. Heart is deceitful above all else. And who can know it? There is a deceiver in our own hearts, and he will show something which is absolutely evil as good. Our own heart can deceive us. And absolutely something that is very, very good for us, he will show it as, you know, evil. And he will cheat us about the future things, right? Our heart is so deceitful. And we need to understand the traps of the devil, and we need to escape the deceptions of our own heart. We need understanding, right? The third, very, very important, I think, to know priorities in life. Oh, the priorities in life. Our life is nothing but the choices we make. And the choices we make reflect the priorities we have decided in our heart. Right? Oh, how much understanding we need to make the right priorities. Our life is nothing but a reflection of our priorities. What is important? What is not important? What is first? What is second? According to its worth, right? You know how to order your thinking, your choices, your life, basis your priorities. And all this requires big understanding. think a few priorities. Whether we should give importance to God or more importance to men. Whether we should fear men or fear God. Right? Whether we should give in and succumb to the pressures of men or whether we should obey God. God should be served, right? That's very clear and respected before men and even before our own selves. We should serve the Creator rather than the creatures. Acts 5:29, the apostles were so strong in the face of threat for life. They said you have to obey God rather than men. But is it easy? Oh, how much understanding we need. How many times you and I are caught into a confusing situation. Our priorities are divided, right? Duties to God, duties to ourselves, duties to parents, duties to our wife, duties to our husband, our children. And it requires great understanding how to sort all these things. When the inferior duties try to take over us and try to make us sometimes, you know, make us become unfaithful to God. We need understanding to sort these things and rightly reject sometimes the inferior duties so that we can serve the superior duties, right? Oh, alas, the corruption of our heart would always teach us to do the otherwise. We love ourselves more than we love our neighbors. And then we love our neighbors more than we love God. That's the corruption of our heart. Right? Out of self-interest, many a times we comply, we agree to the desires of men and we boldly become unfaithful to God. And we give excuses. We don't realize what harm we do to ourselves, right? Oh, the wisdom at every situation to do the duties correctly without angering God. Live with the realization that we are bound and obligated supremely to God. From whom we have life and breath and all things. And none can reward our obedience more greatly, more surely than God. And none can punish our disobedience so severely like God. And we should fear Him. If you think about these things, you know, I think you will realize that how much wisdom we need, how much understanding we need on a day-to-day basis. Right? On priorities. How cowardly we become many a times, and we wrong our own souls in these things, right? Think about other priorities. The priorities, whether the world is important or the heaven is important, whether my soul is important or the body is important, seeking the kingdom of God is important, or it can't just be, you know, just prayers and preachings and jargons that we use, right? It needs to have practical implications. Now, wherever in these things, you know, if we fail in these things and continue to live a life, God will at last call us as fools. Right? What will a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses soul? If his priorities are wrong, he's a fool. He's spent his lifespan on foolish things. And priorities of what is urgent and what is not urgent. And what can be delayed and what cannot be delayed. There should never be delay in the kingdom matters. That should be sought with urgency, with violence, with priority. Oh, what fools we make ourselves. We busy ourselves on trivial things and delay the eternal matters day to day, day by day. It should be sought with all urgency. And we don't have understanding, right? We don't have understanding like Moses had. Hebrews 11:25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting, passing pleasures of sin. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt because he looked for the coming reward. Do you have that understanding? Do you have that wisdom? Are you looking for the coming reward and denying yourself now? What do? In our foolishness, we avoid all kinds of hardships and difficulties now. Right? Suffering for Christ now. Oh no, I can't. And we choose ease and we choose pleasure. We choose profit now. And then what reward are we waiting for? Right? There will not be any reward. At last God will say, you have wasted your life without understanding and lived like a fool. And wise man, you know, would always want the best thing at last. Pleasure and profit may seem you know, like the world, he can run, you know, now I want ease, now I want pleasure, now I want a comfortable life now, like everyone in the world. But if that profit and if that pleasure destroys a good conscience, right, in the time and commitment to God, and that pleasure destroys grace in us, you should have understanding to avoid that, to maneuver that, right? Oh, how we should get wisdom for all this, right? And when you decide on something, we should have understanding to choose not just the good things, but things that will bring maximum good, right? Not temporary good, but lasting good. Where do we get all that wisdom? To choose the best from the better, the better from the good, right? Choose things which will bring good not only to ourselves but to many people. Do you see how important priorities are? It requires great spiritual wisdom, people. These are many principles I can go on and tell you, you know, it requires great wisdom for us. In theory, it may be easy to talk about correct priorities, seek the kingdom of God first, but in practice, we are all governed and drawn by senses and passions, right, and love, which almost inevitably makes us decide contrary to those principles and causes us to boldly, many a time, sin against God, fearing men rather than God, and choosing the present ease rather than suffering for Christ. We're all naturally like Esau. When faced with the immediate needs, when faced with the immediate hunger, we are ready to sell the birthright for a cup of soup so that we can satisfy the present need. Right? Someone said, we are such fools, we are ready to make deep wounds in our soul to avoid a small scratch in the body. That's all very true. So understanding, although we need to pray, give me understanding. Understanding, fourthly, understanding is necessary that we may also, not only, we should have the ability to judge the right time and the right place and the right manner of doing good things. Right? We may not only just do good, but we need to know the right time, right circumstance, seasonable time, in the right manner. Right? We say things that, you know, it's not in the right manner. We may say the right things, but we may not say it in the right manner where people receive it. Right? We may say it in a way, you know, people completely reject it. We need to know how to speak, where to speak, when to speak, how to act. David says David behaved wisely in all that he did. Ephesians 5:15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You want to walk wisdom, with wisdom, right? For the glory of God, for the reputation of our faith and for the peace of our souls, we need to know when the right circumstances, the right action, the right time. Oh, all this needs wisdom. Right? And I always say, finally, the last reason why we need to cry for wisdom, because our life is nothing but the reflection of our heartfelt understanding. Right? My old pastor used to call this as an emotional understanding. Only when you understand something with a conviction and with love for that understanding, right? Your heart will be affected with that understanding. Right? And when the mind is convinced of the truth, the heart is affected with that truth, both these bend your will. Right? And that's, you know, because that your understanding, your emotional understanding is the reflection of your life. Right? That mind knowledge will kindle all kinds of emotions and convictions, and that will persuade your will, and that will affect your practice. So it all boils down to our understanding. So we need to pray. So you see how important understanding is. You realize why we need to pray with David, God, give me understanding. When we live without it, Bible compares us in Psalm 32:9, we live like horse and mules that have no understanding. Right? Unpredictable, emotional, according to mood, according to senses, it's all reactive. There is no guidance, there is no understanding. We just live like animals, right? Like donkeys. No understanding. Oh, so that is the first attempt to make you realize, you know, oh, we need understanding. Lord, give me understanding. Shouldn't that be your prayer? At least for coming week, right? It was my prayer for last 3-4 days, right? And realizing this great need, look at what David says next. He prays, give me understanding. And also, when God grants that blessing, look at this marvelous expectation. What will understanding do to him? Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Wow, obedience. And then, not just keeping the law, but he goes beyond that and says, indeed I shall observe it with all my heart, with my own heart. Oh, when God gives understanding, he expects two things. One is obedience, right? Practical impact in life. You will keep God's law, not in a very superficial way, but heartily, full heart obedience. Right? Do you see how it is connected? Right? A practical life is directly linked to our understanding. If you don't have understanding, you can neither keep the law. Even if you try to keep the law, you can never keep it with your whole heart. Right? You will not keep it cheerfully, joyfully, because your understanding is lacking. First, you know, first the obedience, right? Let's look at two things. Two things he promises, he expects. I shall keep your law. It shows that only when we have understanding given by God as an answer to prayer, we'll be able to keep the law. This is a wonderful consequence of true God-given understanding. Right? It's the fruit of God's understanding. Why? Because this may sound a little complex, but let me try to explain. There are two reasons why this is the case, right? One, the conviction of our mind's judgment is the ground for all change and practice. Okay? The conviction of our mind. When our mind is convinced about something, when our mind evaluates and makes a judgment about something, this is the best, right? Our will naturally follows it. The conviction of the mind, you know, mind's judgment is the ground of all practice. See, if our mind realizes some food is good, okay, for our health, right, and you keep looking at it, you keep researching it, and you are completely convinced, what do you think you will cook tomorrow? What do you think you will eat tomorrow? Right? It will impact your life because your mind is fully convinced. The same way, divine understanding gives such illumination to our mind. We see the cursedness of evil, of not keeping God's law. We see the blessedness of keeping God's law. How blessed it is. How wonderful it is. How joyful it is. And what wonderful blessings it can bring. And when the mind is savingly enlightened and thoroughly possessed by the truth and the work of heavenly things, and the mind will joyfully approve the goodness of the ways of God, and the will of the man will follow. You will inevitably do that, right? Judgment of the mind comes to a conclusion, right? Just in Psalm 73, David says, it is good for me to draw to God. Not only it's a good thing, but it is good for me. When that conviction comes, the will yield. The will follow that. Right? And that's the reason David is able to say, give me understanding, then I will obey your law. Second reason, the God's grace. This is how God's grace works. God not only fully, you know, convinces us spiritually, right, enlightens our mind, but he also works on our will to accept and to embrace and practice those good things with which he convinced our mind. There is a blindness, there is a stubbornness in our mind which cannot be cured just by some mental persuasion, right? I can preach and I can persuade you to say, do something. But we need some divine aid, divine power to be infused. A weak and partial conviction will never affect any permanent change because it's hindered by all kinds of practice and old habits and lust. Though we wish to change, but you know, we cannot. What does this divine understanding do? It enlightens our mind and it infuses a divine force and determination. And you know, when we understand, it is better, it is best, it is better to keep God's law. Right? That's why Philippians, Paul says, God who works in you not only to will, right, but to do. Right? He not only gives you that desire and enlightens you to will something, but he also helps you practice those things. And that's what the wonder of divine understanding is, right? It will make us obey God's law. And then secondly, notice the intensity of that obedience, right? Now, this light in our mind will not create a dry, hesitant obedience. No. He talks about, indeed I shall observe it with my whole heart. Heartily, earnest, willing, obedience. So see the intensity. Not just keeping the law. It's not even keeping the law from the heart. It's keeping the law from your whole heart. Right? That's the difference. And what does it mean to keep the law from your whole heart? It means a full obedience to the law with all the powers of the whole man. Again, this is not the condition of our acceptance with God, but you know the law is the rule of our life, right? We are accepted not by keeping the law, right? It is by Christ's work. And it's not talking about perfection. We'll never be able to fully keep the law, right? Only Jesus Christ kept the law perfectly and without the least deviation in thought, word and action. But here the psalmist expresses his great desire. If God gives me such understanding, enlightenment, to see the evil of disobeying God, to see the wonder and the blessedness of obeying God, my heart will be so taken up that I will keep the law with all my power. Right? And isn't this the gospel effect? Yes, God justifies us perfectly by the work of Jesus Christ. But there is a beautiful, adventurous journey before us, just like we sang in a song. Right? I don't want to, I'm saved, so I will relax. No. You have to grow in sanctification. Right? I want to scale new, higher heights. We have to grow. It's a marvelous, adventurous journey. Sanctification. What is sanctification? It's not just 21 days fasting and you're always reading the Bible and you're always feeling holy. No, that's not it means. And live a horrible life where you disregard all your duties. No. Sanctification is keeping God's law with all your heart in every area of your life. Fulfilling your duties to God and your duties to men. That is sanctification. When God sanctifies a man, he sanctifies him in all the parts and the faculties of body and soul. And he enlightens our understanding. And he gives power to our will. He inclines our heart to obedience, right? And it doesn't happen all at once, right? It is progressive, little by little. And the light overcomes the darkness, the holiness overcomes the sin, heavenly desires overcomes the earthly desires, vanities. And it's a marvelous journey. And when a man seriously takes this journey, right, and determines to obey God's law and to be sanctified, acknowledging his defects, he goes from faith to faith and glory to glory, being renewed in the inner man, day by day. So, David says, I will keep the law with my whole heart. And why must we keep the law with our whole heart? Because anything done without the whole heart is unacceptable to God. Right? Because God sees our heart. Man, God sees not as man sees, Samuel 16. Right? He looks, man sees at the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. Many men may not see our hearts, but the whole world, everybody's heart is like a plain glass before him. He knows how much we value. He doesn't regard what we say, right? It is our heart he sees. Now, even if we give the whole world to him and don't give our heart to him, we dishonor him. But if we just give a small mite, a 1 rupee to him, but with a full heart, that is more acceptable to him. Right? It's not enough to keep God's law, but we must keep it. It's not even enough to keep God's law from our heart, but we must keep it from our whole heart. Because external obedience in God's sight is nothing. Right? It's not enough that our life is good outwardly, we do correctly all the things, unless the heart is done with a whole and pure heart. We are no different than the Pharisees, right? They were outside perfect men. And we don't keep God's law unless we keep it with our own heart. And now if we don't keep it with our own heart, right, it's going to be temporary. Because soon that is going to go away. Okay, so that's the exposition on that beautiful psalm. We see a prayer And David, as an answer to the prayer, he expects two things will happen. He will keep God's law and keep it from his whole heart. So brothers, I hope you can see why we should pray this David's prayer. Give me understanding. Lord, give me. So pray that he may remove all the darkness of sin that has been created in our understanding, so that we are not governed and drawn by various lusts and the senses and the passions, but we are led by the direction of the law. We are led with men. We act like animals many a time, right? Carried away by emotions, carried away by that thing, right? As if we don't have any brains. Right? God has created us with the reason to guide us in the spiritual use. Right? Not only pray, but use the means for understanding. Reading of God's word, meditation of God's word. God uses means to give us understanding, right? And scripture makes us wise unto salvation. Wiser than our enemies. Wiser than our teachers. Wiser than the ancient wise men. Oh, don't leave that, I keep saying, the soul fattening exercise of meditation. Use much of meditation, right? That's what gives understanding people. Yeah, you can have head knowledge. Yeah, you can read your Bible reading and you can listen to your sermon. But unless you meditate on those truths, how are you going to gain spiritual understanding? Talking the truth to yourself, taking some time in your day, and you've studied something, you've learned something, you heard some sermon, and keep talking that to yourself. Nothing gives more understanding than the exercise of meditation. The same Psalm, verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why, David? For your testimonies are my meditation. You see that? Even in New Testament, 2 Timothy 2:7, Paul says to Timothy, meditate what I have said, Paul. Timothy, consider what I have said, the Lord. Then the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Understanding comes from meditation, people. Some people don't listen to me when I emphasize this, and after years of wasting their life and realizing, Pastor, you taught this so many years ago. And they mess up life, right? They mess up so many days. I hope you don't do that. You realize the importance. We all need to get understanding, right? Because that's where your everything depends. Your words, your life, everything depends. And let's pray.